Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Hundreds of festivals take place each year in Wisconsin. They showcase artists, musicians, communities, food, ethnicity and cultural traditions, and more. They're found in communities of all sizes, lasting from hours to days, weekends to weeks. But why so many festivals? What do they mean for our communities, the people who attend, the participants? In the studio to discuss the current state of festivals with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Gatto are Doug Kratt, president-elect of La Crosse Festivals, the parent organization for Oktoberfest, and Pat Stevens, president of La Crosse's Irish Fest, held in August.
Well, it was our ninth year for Irish Fest, and by far, any way you measure it, our most successful by far. It has really caught on, and when we got that going 9 years ago, I never would have thought it would have had a nine-year longevity. And here we are now planning for year number 10 and beyond. So it has gone very well for that. But I think with all festivals, the other night as I was walking into a chamber activity, I bumped heads with Jeff Thompson, the president of Gunderson Lutheran, and he indicated that we're probably getting, he was at the Irish Fest and enjoyed it, and he said, you know, a lot of people don't realize how important festivals are to the quality of life in any particular region. And I thanked him for those comments. And he said when they're trying to recruit and retain people all the time, they look at the different activities that a community has to offer, and festivals are a big part of that.
And Doug?
You know, I would agree. I think that the state of the festivals, Oktoberfest going into their 53rd coming in this year, it's always changing and evolving. They're always looking at what they can do better year after year. I was fortunate enough to be down at Irish Fest this year, and I've had the opportunity to be in their wee tent the last couple years and seeing things that they do and obviously the other festivals in the area. I think there's always challenges, as there is in any organization, but I think in general that they are fairly strong and that they give a huge amount back to the communities that they serve.
Oktoberfest, traditionally a nine-day festival, gets underway later next week. But next year, the festival itself will be shortened, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as we mosey on through this conversation here. But why do festivals? Why do them in the first place? Doug?
Well, I think Oktoberfest was set up to show what La Crosse area, the Coulee region, had to offer and to show goodwill. And I think that's what most of the festivals do. They're there for their ethnic background, but also, honestly, to celebrate what we have in this region. And the La Crosse region has just a beautiful area, and I think that it definitely gets to expo this area very well.
I would echo that as well. I think 20 years ago, there was probably Oktoberfest and Riverfest that were kind of the bookends mm-hmm. of the festival scene. Now I bet we could count when you throw in the Wienerfest and the growth of Applefest and all these other ones, there's probably 10 to 15 festivals in the area as well. And yet, why they all compete for certain sponsorship dollars and other things like that, I think they all do bring a quality of life to the area.
Community awareness, pride, celebration.
All of the above.
And more. Attendance. What are you seeing with attendance, though, these days? We have so many festivals. Pat, you just mentioned that sometimes the festivals have to compete for resources, but attendance is part of that, too.
Yeah, I can speak for Irish Fest this year, which was our best attendance ever. On the other hand, I know from looking at the demographics from Riverfest this year that despite five beautiful days, this was not their best year in terms of attendance or in terms of finances on there. So it's kind of hard to figure that when you had the dragon races and a major concert and some other things that should attract big numbers, I think it fell short of expectations on there. So they'll rethink that and come back with a new plan for next year.
And yet this year was better than last year.
Oh, indeed. I mean, yeah. There's no question about the last year was pretty bad. And I think you compete for resources within the families, too. You know, we went through a little bit of a recession there. And if you got to pick and choose some family activities, you're going to go to the ones that you like the most, whereas in the good times you might participate in multiple ones.
Mm-hmm. And Oktoberfest, I mean, it has a huge tradition, 50-plus years. Attendance has come and gone. It's spread out geographically, which also affects attendance. But what's happening there?
Correct. So I was just kind of perusing the numbers on the south side attendance that we've had in the last couple of years. And we peaked at our 50th. We were up around 56,000 people that came through the south side on those. And those are rough numbers. But we typically hang between the 46 to 50,000 most of the time. So that's staying fairly steady from that aspect. But that's just on one set of our grounds. You know, we have the two grounds and then the economic impact that it has to the rest of the area. But, you know, with all these festivals, one of the big things that we've alluded to is weather. That's another thing that can play a big role in it. You mentioned Riverfest last year, and that was hot and dry, and I think a lot of people that took the toll on people locally and possibly people that would have traveled into the area. And I know with Oktoberfest, when we have rain on the grounds, it will hold back. Or if it's colder and rainier, that will hold people from coming back. So I think all of these take effect. So we try to look at more of a broad picture, you know, more of a long time going with an averaging on it.
So as you're looking next year at cutting back considerably in the number of days for Oktoberfest, what's that going to do to attendance?
Well, boy, it's going to be an opportunity, in all honesty. We're going back a little bit to our roots, so we're going to start on Thursday with the Torchlight Parade. Hopefully that will really bring a lot of our local population back out to really start kicking off Fest. And then, as you know, or people that are in the area know, that we get a very large influx of individuals that come in for the Maple Leaf, for the Tapping the Golden Keg on Friday and things like that. Maple Leaf on Saturday. So our attendance might be down a little bit more, but our big weekend is always first weekend. Friday, Saturday, Sunday on the Oktoberfest grounds are really where we see the vast majority of the people. It's where the vast majority of the tourists come into the area for this festival as well.
You mentioned, or you alluded to, the economic impact that these festivals and the attendance and what have you has on the community. I want to touch on that. Dave Clements of the La Crosse Area Convention and Visitors Bureau acknowledges that the impact to this local economy is significant when you add all of the festivals together over the course of the year. The impact of Oktoberfest alone, he says, surpasses $3 million annually. How does tourism, local business sales, and so on, how does that figure into how and why you approach your festivals the way you do? Pat?
Well, we know that you're going to attract a lot of people from out of the area.
Kind of attendance comes to Irish Fest?
About 9,000.
Okay.
Yeah, and heads in beds, you know, that's the, if Dave was sitting here, that's what he would allude to right now. And he does a nice job of putting the dollars and cents together as to how you project your economic impact on any particular community. And I'm sure he's correct when he says that all of the area festivals combined put a lot of heads in beds. And then you get your offshoots on that, everything from gas stations to restaurants. The shopping center will tell you they have a good weekend when that goes on. As I mentioned, restaurants and so on do a great job during that period of time. And as Doug mentioned earlier, though, it's a great way for us to also showcase the beauty of the area. And so you get a lot of people that come here for the first time, enjoy their festival weekend. But by and large, just like a lot of our convention people do, they'll come back for another weekend or two and enjoy La Crosse in a little different venue.
So it's that awareness part of what the festivals create. And it's not just the sales or not just the economic impact at the festival itself, but it's truly the economic impact for the whole community that you too, Doug, with Oktoberfest, looking at?
By all means. I mean, Pat's been in a lot of festivals, and Dave Clements can tell you the economic impact of Oktoberfest is probably much bigger for the La Crosse community than it is for Oktoberfest. You know, there's all the different kinds of numbers. The dollar that comes into the area gets turned over X amount of times before it leaves the area and things like that. You know, you talk with the people from the Restaurant Association and as the people at the hotels and the people at the taverns, that is, you know, opening weekend of Fest is one of their make or break weekends. We are going to be doing a study this year to start trying to get a better handle on what the economic impact is on the grounds for people that we're bringing in from outside the area, hopefully expanding that next year to see what we can get for economic impact on the businesses in the La Crosse area.
You've both referenced bringing dollars in from outside of the community with the tourists and the people that attend from elsewhere, but what about turning over the dollars in town with local people as well?
By all means, obviously, we want the local individuals as well, but we also understand there's an impact on the infrastructure of La Crosse by bringing these number of people in. But the locals also are benefiting, obviously, because they are some of the business owners. They're some of the employees. They're getting all of these benefits as well. And I think that's a huge issue that is beneficial to the city of La Crosse.
Pat, I'm just wondering, so many of the festivals celebrate cultural heritage. We've got Norskadalen and Midsummer Festival, Westby's Set in Demai, and, of course, the two that you represent, La Crosse's Irish Fest and Oktoberfest. How does that affect the attendance? I mean, does Irish Fest attract primarily people with that Irish heritage, or?
We wouldn't do as well if that was the case. I can assure you that there's a lot of people that like being Irish for that weekend, or they know a lot of the history of Ireland itself and would like to come and share that. I don't think I've ever missed an Oktoberfest, and I'm 100% Irish, and I think that's true with a lot of the other folks as well. They can come down, and Ireland is blessed with some great music history as well, and I think even if people don't understand the entire culture, they like Irish music, and people from all nationalities will come down and enjoy that.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Gatto. Joining me in the studio for this conversation about festivals, their significance to our communities, and some of the nuts and bolts behind them are representatives from what are admittedly two of the larger local festivals. Doug Kratt is president-elect of La Crosse Festivals, the parent organization for Oktoberfest, and Pat Stevens is president of La Crosse's Irish Fest, held in August. La Crosse's Oktoberfest, just a week away, is in some ways the culmination of this year's summer run of festivals across the region. They come in all shapes and sizes. We celebrate Warren's Cranberry Festival and La Crescent's Apple Fest and Holman's Corn Fest, Lanesboro's Rhubarb Fest. We celebrate trout during the Coon Creek Trout Festival. And there's Bangor's Firefly Fest, recognizing those fascinating critters that light up our backyards. Music is front and center, I think, Pat, as you mentioned, in many instances. La Crosse's Downtown Sound Music Festival, the Great River Folk Festival, Arcadia's Ashley for the Arts Festival. There are some very unique festivals. La Crosse has the annual Storytelling Festival, which is, I believe, the only such spoken word festival in Wisconsin. Can we have too many festivals in this region?
Not as far as I'm concerned.
Me either. I mean, they're each showing something different, but they're all showing what's good about this region. And so I can't see, you know, we talked about how there are so many resources and that we're quote-unquote competing for that. But we also overlap and work with each other for certain of these amount of festivals too. If you can show a new band, if you can show something about the heritage that people didn't know, or a local restaurant and their food, I think that that's all. I don't think there's too many festivals, because that might bring more people back to this area, or people that didn't know that it was here and they lived here their whole lives.
Staycations having an impact on attendance? People closer to home keep coming?
That could very well be a case this year, I think, and maybe over the last couple of years during the recession. Again, talking to Dave Clements at the Convention Bureau and so on, they've put some resources into what a great place La Crosse is to just stay here and participate during the summer rather than spending dollars to go elsewhere. So I think we did benefit from that.
I want to talk a little bit more about finances, this time kind of the other end of that equation, funding the festivals themselves. Where does that come from? Is there enough support out there? We have so many festivals. Pat?
Well, there's three main sources that we use for all the festivals that I'm involved with. Certainly, it starts with sponsorships, and those are individuals, those are companies, different corporations, and so on in the area that are interested for their employees and for the community to add that quality of life that we were talking about to it, and so they were more than willing to sponsor. Then you have admissions, whether it's a paid admissions or a button is a second source of income as well. And then it's the actual products or that you sell are another source of income as well. And all of which, as Doug mentioned, are weather sensitive and attendance sensitive as well to get to your bottom line. So unless there's another source that I'm missing, those are the three main ones. You can throw some advertising revenue in there in some cases to help pay for some printing and stuff. But those are about the only three I can think of.
Right. We also put, you know, club memberships in, which are part of it as well. But I think the big three that you hit, sponsorship is key. Attendance, the buttons or the tickets are also there. Long and short of it is you got to put a good product on year after year. Give them an experience, and hopefully people will enjoy it and continue to come back.
How about rising costs? Are there increasing costs that you're seeing with Oktoberfest, for instance, this year? I mean, you all have had to make a difficult decision to, as you said, go back to your roots, but cut back by half the number of days that Oktoberfest. How are the costs impacting that decision making, and overall, how to, you know, balance the budget with running a festival like that?
Well, as with any business, costs continue to go up. Obviously, you know, the bigger discussions the last couple of years is increased city fees. Coming to discussion, coming to an agreement on how that can handle. Last year, it had a tendency to put the Maple Leaf Parade in mm-hmm. very large jeopardy. This year and last year, we were able to make it happen. But, you know, the city's exploring permits to watch the parade, the Maple Leaf Parade. And so I think everybody, there's increased demand for those resources, financial resources as well, and you have to make decisions. Part of the decisions for the four-day, was that it? Yes, that was. But on the same point, we also looked at when was the biggest attendance? What were the things that were really working for us? What were things that weren't working for our festival? And could we do something different to put on a better experience? And we are hoping, and I feel that the four-day festival let us put on a better experience for the La Crosse area.
I know that earlier this year it was projected that Oktoberfest would be running a deficit this year probably. Things looking better at this stage of the game, do you know?
Yeah, we are, you know, because we've had to cut back on certain things. Mm-hmm. We have come up with a balanced budget at this point, but the proof's going to be how we do during our festival. If we have 40-degree weather and rain, it's going to put a pretty big damper on us. And on the same point, if we have 100-degree weather and it's really dry, that could also put a damper on us. So we're keeping our fingers crossed that we're going to have just the ideal conditions, and hopefully people will be out. They're going to fest responsibly and have a great time in the community.
One of the options that was put on the table earlier this year to help specifically, I think, with Oktoberfest was a proposal to allocate some room tax revenue to help support the festival in the future. Is that necessary? And more importantly, is that appropriate?
Well, you know, I know Pat and I have talked about this a little bit, and both of us were talking to the city about it. And the bigger question is, what are those funds allocated for? But it does open up a little bit of Pandora's box of who can go after those funds and things like that. When you start looking at these festivals making significant economic impacts, but they're paying for increased police presence or increased street fees, that makes it very difficult, especially on something like the Maple Leaf Parade, where that parade can cost us in excess of $45,000 to put on. And that's not a money-making event for us by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, you don't need a button. You don't need anything except to be able to come out your front door or go down the street to enjoy everything that's there.
Or so reserve your space 3 days in advance if
right.
you can.
Well, and the city's saying they're not going to allow that this year, so I'm just want to get that word out because we've been told that. So that's all part of it. But I think that's a really key part of our festival, is that parade is really, really neat. It brings a lot of people out. If you ever get the opportunity to walk in that parade when you come over the viaduct and you get to look downtown, it's probably one of the biggest rushes that you're going to experience. There's people lined up all the way down, and that's pretty neat.
Irish Fest and some of the other smaller festivals by comparison are more contained in specific areas. Do you have some of those same expense concerns or accessibility concerns? Or
I think one of the things we learned very early on is that to a certain degree, the La Crosse area is a little spoiled when it comes to what certain things cost. And when you go back to Riverfest history of a 50-cent button and then a dollar button and so on like that, to what it really costs now for everything from insurance to the canvas that you have to rent to the other things, it's all greatly increased. And you can't get by with $4 and $5 anymore from an admission standpoint. You go to any of the larger cities, you take any festival in Madison or Milwaukee, it's $15, $20 a head to get in. So the Oktoberfest is a pretty good steal. Irish Fest at $9 is a pretty good bargain. I always tell somebody like Gaelic Storm, which is always one of our attractions, mm-hmm. They played on both nights of Irish Fest here in different locations at $30 a person to get in and watch just them. For $9, you got into La Crosse Irish Fest, and you could see 17 bands that we had over that period of time. So it really is a big adjustment for some people in our area. Not so much the tourists. They're used to that. But the people in our area really have to learn that it costs a little bit more to put on a quality activity.
I would wholeheartedly agree. You can buy these tickets in advance, which both of us, have been aware of and trying to let people know, mm-hmm. Or it's a little bit more at the time of the festival. But when you're looking at 8 or 10 or 9 or whatever for the amount of entertainment that is there, that's pretty incredible, because I think it's been a little bit of time since I've gone downtown and listened to a band in one of the bars down there. But I have a tendency to believe that some of those cover charges are at $5 and $10 for that one night for that short period of time. And so, that's what we're doing. We We try not to have any ticketed events. We do this year. We have a ticketed event this year with Brett Michaels coming back in. But that's because that's a little bit out of the ordinary for us, and that's to try to cover those expenses that would come along with that.
No state of the state assessment is complete without looking to the future. You've both referenced it a little bit, but let's return to where we started and ask each of you to look into your crystal balls and describe just what it is you see for community festivals in general in the future, and specifically the vision that you might have for your respective festivals. Pat?
Well, I am no stranger to Milwaukee's Summerfest grounds. And I love it. I watched it develop as a very young boy down in Milwaukee from what really was the Jones Island garbage dump to the festival grounds that it is today, bringing millions of people to Milwaukee on a very state-of-the-art festival grounds that continues to be clean and improved and very modern and so on. And I certainly hope that as we look into the crystal ball, that we can develop a fest grounds here that can be used by multiple festivals on multiple weekends that have many of the built-in things that that we're paying for right now and have a good quality fest grounds that they can all enjoy.
And Doug?
So believe it or not, we have not talked before we came into this room. That's exactly what I would think my crystal ball would be saying, is that having more of a festival grounds, hopefully in the downtown district, to continue to bring people into the La Crosse area, again, the Cooley region, but the La Crosse area. I think that we'll see probably more synergistically working with these festivals together, where we may not have to duplicate all of our resources. I think that that would be a thing. I would expect, because of everything that it brings to this area, I would expect these festivals to continue. They may change. They may morph a little bit, but they'll be there. And I really hope for the economics of the La Crosse area that it stays viable for these festivals to continue to bring people into this area.
So I guess my final question would be then, both of you alluded to better grounds, different grounds, better grounds. What are the challenges of the existing fest grounds? You both, for your festivals, you obviously both use those.
Mm-hmm. So La Crosse Festivals leases those Southside Fest grounds, and we rent those out to various organizations to have their festivals on, as well as there's wedding parties and other things down there. So number one, it's a lease. And leases have a tendency to expire, or if that ground becomes valuable, it may not be economically feasible for us to continue to lease those grounds. Now, we have a good relationship right now with that, but that is one of the options that's out there. You also look at some of the things that we talked about at Summerfest. You know, would be might possibly be very nice to have a outside amphitheater type of a location where people could come down and have a concert there versus putting in portable staging and lights and things. I was down in Chicago again. I know we're pie in the sky, but I was really impressed with their outdoor amphitheater. I'm not saying La Crosse can duplicate that directly, but if you could see that Irish Fest could use that, or River Fest could use that, or I don't know, maybe some of the bands on a Sunday afternoon type of a situation during the summer. I think any of these things, the storytelling could be there. We could have potentially some nicer buildings that could be multi-purpose for being able to serve with some food vendors and things out of there, you know, have multiple uses for them, having more green space on them. I think it's nice to have the blacktop down because you can get your trucks in and out. But on the same point, sometimes it's not as aesthetically pleasing as you'd like.
But pie in the sky is what visions are made of, right?
Correct. Pie in the sky would be great.
And Pat, you're shaking your head. You're totally in support of this.
Oh, I would love to see a Summerfest type grounds here. Everybody keeps talking about the mobile oil site. You got 70 acres of it. About 20 of that is in the floodplain, which really can't support any other sort of structure that's there besides a park or fest ground. So it seems ideal that we could put some sort of combination use to that property and get to it. It's been 15 years now since they've been talking about this. So I'd like, before my days are over, would really like to be part of making that something special.
Pat Stevens is president of La Crosse's Irish Fest, and Doug Kratt is president-elect of La Crosse Festivals, the parent organization for Oktoberfest. They spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Gatto about the state of the state of festivals. You're listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up next, we'll talk with someone who tries to inspire future generations to become leaders. Archives of this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, extended interviews, pictures, and links to the festivals can be found on our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. You can also like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.